stand with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, somehow we feel that the times of refreshing have come.
Yes.
Even from the throne of the Lord. Lord, we feel that uplifting power of your Spirit this morning. And Father, we desire that you would be in complete control of this service. Lord, that you would guide our tongue.
Yes.
You would guide our singing. You would guide every aspect of ministry and of service. And all that is done, dear Lord, we pray for your divine unction, your divine anointing upon each one that is gathered here this morning. This is not a one-man ministry. Yea, it is a great body. It is a great body of Christ that is coming together in oneness, in unity, in that place where we shall do that which you desire to be done in the earth by those ministries that you have placed in the body. We would be just the vessels that you would use to your honor and to your glory. Let us just be willing and obedient as you lead and as you guide. Father, we ask you to bless the service this morning. Every aspect of it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There have been a couple of scriptures on my heart. I'd just like to read them at the outset this morning. And one of them is found in Psalm 92. Beginning at the 12th verse. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I don't know what a cedar in Lebanon looks like, but I gather that from this scripture that it's a pretty big and beautiful tree. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'll tell you, we want to be planted. We want to be rooted in the church of the living God. We want to be rooted in Christ. Now listen to this, you old folks. They shall bear fruit in old age. You hear that, Bart? I just choose Byron because he and I are about the same age. Oh, he's a little bit older. We shall bear fruit in old age. You know, I think the enemy comes to us sometimes and says, now, you know, you're getting on here. You're really not much use anymore. You're not of too much value. Do you have any trouble with that? Now, I know the young people don't even understand that. Like, that just went whoosh right over your head. But for some of us, I'm sure we've had that kind of feeling that we're kind of getting on, kind of over the hill on the downhill drag. You know, this scripture says that we can still bear fruit in our old age. And I've seen it with my eye. I've heard it with my ear. It is absolutely true. We don't need to listen to that, because I think those are things that come from the one that wants to destroy our ministry. We shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I think the King James says fat, but I like this better. Fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Praise the Lord. That was one of the scriptures that I had on my heart. And I'm going to read another one that you are all very familiar with. And it's found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to begin to read at the 28th verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel that you have little or no strength? Don't be shy. Raise your hand if you felt that way. I'll tell you, there's a lot of hands raised here. Not too many young ones. But a little older, we sometimes feel weak. We sometimes feel lacking in strength. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no strength, no might, He increases strength. Now listen to this, you youths. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that scripture is talking about the spiritual aspect. That's what it's talking about. I don't want any one of you young guys wanting to have a race with me, because I didn't even go near the obstacle course here the other day, in case somebody should challenge me. Because even though I'm competitive, so you know I might be enticed. You see, to renew your strength is to change your strength. From what to what? From the natural to the spiritual. That's what it's talking about. They shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. We think of the eagle as being that powerful bird, the emblem, I think, of the U.S. Is that not correct? You know, Andy, we hear more news about the U.S. than we hear about Canada. I'm not sure why that should be, because whenever I've been in the U.S., I've been starved for news about Canada. You know, maybe if our prime minister was assassinated, it might hit the U.S. news. I don't know for sure. But it would take something pretty big to hit your news. But we hear every little thing that your president says. We hear every tweet that he tweets out. We hear it all. We're knowledgeable about the U.S. Well, that had nothing to do with this, I don't think. Yeah, the eagle, that's where, yeah, sure, the eagle. The eagle, the bird of power, the nation of power, but He is in charge of all the nations. Doesn't the scripture say that they are but a drop in the bucket? Doesn't the scripture say that they are but dust on the balances? You know, here's Canada. Just a drop to the Lord. I love this country. Don't misunderstand me. I'm sure you love yours. I know my daughter-in-law, she says she loves her country. And I understand loving your country. Because that's where our roots are. And you know, the Lord wants them all to come in to that glorious kingdom that He is building. And they will. We'll just give Him His time to accomplish all of that. And we won't worry too much about it. Praise the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Now there's a song that has been going over in my mind since last night. It's been rattling around up there. And heaven knows there's lots of room up there for things to rattle. And the song is this: we'll give the glory to Jesus. If there's ever a morning after what we have experienced the night before, it is to give the glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen? But you'll have to stand to sing this. Hallelujah.
The glory to Jesus, to tell of His love and tell of His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. We'll sing and we'll shout and we'll praise Him. We'll praise Him. We'll praise Him. We'll sing and we'll shout. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Tell His love. Tell His love. We'll give the glory.
Hallelujah. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a song. It's a song and it's a psalm. And if you'll just give me a moment to find it. It's Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. This is a camp where I have felt like I have never felt before about His greatness. I always knew that He was great, but somehow He's become greater in this camp. And this psalm says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, the joy of the whole earth is the mount on the sides of the north. The city of the great King. That was in the, I think, the New King James, but we will sing the Old King James. We'll get Great is the Lord, page 39 in the red book, if you don't know the words.
Great is the Lord.
Of you. If there's someone standing here this morning that felt they got a real touch from the Lord last night, I'd like you to come up here and tell us about it.
Amen. Last night I came up and I was kind of, I guess my entire life I've kind of been dealing with some minor anxiety and sort of being kind of paranoid and everything. I never really thought it was a really big deal, but then God kind of put it on my heart that it needed to stop because it was keeping me from going on in my walk with Him. So I went up there and I guess they came and prayed with me, and I started speaking in tongues, and slowly, it was just barely enough for me to notice, but slowly, all the stress of everything just started to sort of unwind, and by the time they were done praying with me, I just felt completely free. And then, as I went back to my seat, I looked around and I saw everyone that was standing there, and it reminded me of the song, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place, specifically the line that says, I see glory on each face. And it's really beautiful.
Amen. Thank you.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We're just going to sing that, sister, before you come.
Surely the Lord.
Thank you.
What a mighty God we serve. Yes?
Amen.
Yes. On the 11th of June, I was being very competitive and I was riding a horse, and towards the end of it, we were almost done. And of course, the horse's name had to be Rebel. And he decided that something should scare him, and I just went head over tea kettle, and I landed on my backside. And somewhere up there during that flight, I said to the Lord, I don't think this is good and much fun, and I'm really going to need your help through this. And I did. It was awkward. And we went to the hospital, and they sent me home, and 4 days later, they called me back. They said, oh, we reviewed your x-rays, and you have a broken pelvis. And I'm kind of going, duh, you know. I was bedridden. And I just thanked them for knowing that it was more something wrong than more that was just in my head. It was somewhere else as well. Point being, Friday, when we preparing to leave for the camp, I really wanted to come. And my husband was concerned, my family was concerned how this journey would affect me. And I just had such a glorious peace. The Lord has just been with me through this whole thing. I've just been feeling, I know the great physician, I've got it in the bag, you know? And on Friday when I seen the specialist, he said, when did you hurt yourself again? And he's looking at the dates there, and I said, it'll be 3 weeks on Sunday. And he said, your healing is much more advanced than the date that is on here. And I said, good, I'm glad to hear that. And he said, so, you know, we had communion on Sunday. And I said, I claimed the communion, and I really believe that the Lord gave me a further healing. He says, I wish all my patients would do that. And, you know, when they asked us to come up and to stand ready in prayer, the spirit within me was really happy to do this. The body, on the other hand, is a little more apprehensive, isn't it? And I said to the Lord, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I went up, and I had my crutches, and the Lord said, oh, no, if you're going to stand in front of me, you're going to do it without those things. You're going to be leaning on me. So I said, okay, so I just put them away. And it was good. And we're praying. And towards the end, I felt this sharp jab in my hip. And I looked down at Heidi Smith, who's sitting to my left here. And she's quite a ways from me. And I thought, well, she didn't do it. I was going to say, hey, girlfriend, what's up? You know? And there was no one there. And I still felt that compression, that sharp poke in the hip. And it was the Lord saying to me, I have touched you. Not completely. But I'm touching you. He is here and he's ready to touch us. And now I'm not going to take and be stupid and go cartwheel and go out and ride horses at, you know, sorry, Eleanor. And I'm going to be smart, you know, and I'm listening to his advice when he says, take it easy. I'm not done. I'm still working on you. Take faith. Have faith. Our God is an amazing God, and we should never doubt for a moment what he can do for us. We limit what he can do for us. We do, and we need to stop that. We give him everything, not just some. Thank you.
Thank you. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Let's sing it. Come grab.
Thank you.
morning. Indeed, the Lord is the healer. We don't always have to say exactly what the problem is, but the Lord knows it and He works. Last evening, I asked the brethren to pray for me. Some of them knew of a problem that I was having, but there was another that I didn't mention. And while prayers were being made, Brother Holt, his hand was on my back. He was moving that hand on my back, but there was a certain area where I was feeling that pain. I was saying, Lord, let his hand go right there. And sure enough, his hand went in that area as prayers were being made. And it's as though he was massaging. And glory to God, that pain is completely gone. Amen. To God be the glory. At the touch of Jesus.
Attended the Edmonton Assembly twice, and you have a beautiful family of God, and you are so loving. I felt very, very loved here this whole time, and last night, just all your love around me and the prayers, He just worked on my heart, Lord Jesus, and I'm just so grateful. I just felt grateful and loving and just so open, and I want to be like Jesus, and yes, more like Jesus. So I thank you for all your love and support, and I've just felt it all week. Thank you.
Well, for this sister, and there may be others here, we need to sing a song. Thou shalt no longer be strange, wandering to and fro.
Yes.
Two songs at once. Sister Verna Ellis received this as she was out walking the other day, realized that it just fit in with the song that the Lord gave Alma Beckett some years back. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood led by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, for it was written long ago. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, a remnant of the King, praising, worshiping Jesus as upward to God we go. Just join us as we sing this for the second time for us.
Thou shalt become a royal priesthood led by the Spirit of God.
Join us.
Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, for it was written long ago. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, a remnant of the King, praising and worshiping Jesus as upward to Zion we go. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, led by the Spirit of God. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, for it was written long ago. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, and worshiping Jesus as upward to Zion we go.
Once more.
Thou shalt become a royal priesthood led by the Spirit of God. Thou shalt become a royal priesthood, for it was written long ago. Become a royal priesthood, a remnant of the King, praising and worshiping Jesus as upward to Zion we go.
Comes to the speech.
This request is for Brother Smith. He has had 2 heart attacks in the past month and has dementia. He would have loved to have been here. We miss him. There's an empty seat, 2 seats down there where he and Lydia sat. You know, the Lord can undertake. Remember the scripture, thou shalt still bear fruit in old age. Could I just give you a thought that has been on my heart, I guess, for, I think, years? God is greater than age. Resurrection life is not limited to age. Resurrection life covers it all. Calvary covered it all. You know, don't judge yourself by looking in the mirror. Because maybe we don't really like what we see sometimes. I mean, I'm right in that category. But you know, I don't think that's what God sees. What he sees is my heart. What he sees are my desires. And doesn't the word say that he will give us the desires of our heart? Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, this morning we bring Brother Smith before you. Lord, we have many times sat under his ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for him.
Amen.
We thank you for all of the times that he ministered to us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, how he fed us, our innermost being as he ministered. And Father, now as he stands in need physically and mentally, we pray that your Holy Spirit will descend upon him and will touch him in every aspect and area of his body. Touch his mind, touch his heart, touch him, dear Father, in such a way that resurrection life will just flow and spring forth in his body.
Amen.
And he shall once again be able to minister as he ministered long ago.
Yes,
Father, bless him. Be with Lydia as well.
Amen.
Bless her, dear Father.
Amen.
Touch her body in whatever areas of need
Lord.
She has.
Yes,
this congregation lifts their hands toward you today and blesses you and asks the Lord Almighty that he might touch and heal and set free in the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Submitted by Wendell and Val Witter for Ruby Hannigan. Please pray for me. The doctor's office called me back for another test. I won't know what for until Thursday. I'm sure concern and fear would want a grip, but we know the Master. We know the only true and living God, and he is among us. Heavenly Father, this morning you've told us that when one member suffers, we all suffer. We pray for Sister Ruby. This morning we unite our hearts together. Father, it's not our own efforts. You have accomplished absolutely everything that needs to be accomplished. Help us to yield ourselves to the accomplished work of the cross of Calvary. Father, we pray for Ruby. Yes. even this very moment.
Yes.
Let the Prince of Peace come upon her. Let the Master's hand rest upon her, dear Lord. Let that nail-scarred hand that knows the pain of our sufferings rest upon her, dear Lord. Father, we look for you to do a mighty work in her body. Let your healing virtues flow to her, we pray. And let peace that passes all understanding rest upon her. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony this morning already about answering that anxiety that wants to come upon us, dear Lord. What you've done for others, you'll do for us. Father, just touch our sister, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are two requests here. They're somewhat related. And there are at least three people in this audience that knows a lot about these two needs. And that is Margaret and Marie and Irene. I'd like you to come, please. Their sister, Vera Adams, has been diagnosed with facial neuralgia. This is a very painful condition that has resulted in being unable to attend this camp. We're going to pray for this condition. Vera is the type of person that complains hardly ever, but we know that she has been suffering. And these sisters are in constant contact with her by telephone. And I would like one of you to take this request this morning.
Praise God.
Father, we come before you this morning. Father, our hearts are full of thanksgiving, for we serve a glorious God. And Father, you are with your people. Every aspect of our life, you know, and you love us beyond compare. Father, we bring this need before you, of Vera, and also her daughter, Rhonda. Lord, you see them. We just pray that you would be with them, that you would meet the need that is there. And Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you that we can come into your very presence, that we can put this request before you.
Hallelujah.
And have faith in our hearts that the Lord God Almighty hears our request.
Amen.
We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Their daughter, Rhonda Wickhurst, we prayed for at feast, you may remember. She would like prayer again. Her nerves have been bothering her a lot, and depression sets in, sets in at times. She would like to be with her grandchildren, but under these conditions, that is not possible. Her parents, Nick and Vera, take her out in a wheelchair from time to time. Rhonda has suffered a lot physically, and now she is also suffering mentally. She needs deliverance.
one of you other sisters come.
Heavenly Father, this morning we bring Rhonda to you, dear Lord. You are the God of the impossible. And dear Lord, we just hold her up before you, Father, that you'll work a miracle in her life, dear Lord. Just minister to her, we pray. And we'll give you all the glory. For you are the God of the universe. And we pray, dear Lord, that our requests will be heard, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you.
So, prayer request is submitted by Roger. We appreciate having Roger here. It's a real blessing to us. Always appreciate his prayers and prophecies in a wonderful way. He's asking prayer for Diane, Mook, and Thee. It's an unspoken request. This is to Mark and Thee. Okay. Okay. There's another name here. Okay. Mark and Diane Tay. We thank you, Lord, again for the testimonies that have come here that speak of your power and might, not in the days to come, but in this very hour. We're pressing on the upward way.
Yes. Hallelujah.
New heights we're gaining every day.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Still praying as we're onward bound. Lord, lead us to higher ground. Fathers, we've had this wonderful time of prayer last night. We pray that we would not be satisfied. We pray that we would press in. Father, let us be united in heart and in spirit, dear Lord, for the needs of one another. And Father, we pray for Diane and Mark this very moment, dear Lord. Lord, you know everything about everything. We have total confidence, dear Father, in you. We have no confidence in our flesh. But we have total confidence in you. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. We know that you hold the future, and you are the great I Am. You are the very present help in time of need. And we ask you, Lord, to attend to these prayers this very moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
See? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Having our bodies washed with pure water, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. Let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Just want Sajid to come forward and sing that song, Within the Veil, if you don't mind. Let's just close our eyes and just praise God.
Within the veil, I long to go into thy holy place.
Hallelujah.
To look upon thy face. I see such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil, within the I long
Thank you, Kim.
Father, we commit these scriptures into your hands this morning. Help us to break it, understand it, and chew it. And Lord, we long to see, we long to enter in more and more into that holy place and stand there and worship you, looking into your face, O Lord. Bless us together as a body of yours, Lord. Father, may the thoughts come from the head to the body, together, each ligament, each part will be nourished and be edified and be blessed, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence in this camp. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we humble ourselves at your mighty presence. We can't hold it, Lord. Father, we just pray that you minister to us only by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The writer to the Hebrews is taking us to a realm which we cannot understand by our intellect, by our study, but only by the Spirit. This part of the scripture that we just read is written by theologians of all theologians. A man who had deep understanding into the Jewish religion, rituals, regulations, and commandments. At the same time, he has a pastoral instinct. The last few words we just read about not neglecting attending church meetings as some have done it. So two parts into it. I just want to speak briefly on the first part about the background of this, the most holy place. And how that most holy place is open to us now, and how it was restricted before. As we all know, how in the tabernacle, there were three important areas. First, the courtyard, and then the holy place, and then the most holy place. The most holy place and the holy place was covered or separated by a curtain. And this curtain is representing the restricted area for the people, including the priests. beyond the veil or beyond the curtain, once a year, the high priest would enter with the lamb of the blood. That is in the 7th month, 10th day, the Day of Atonement, which is the national mourning day for the ancient Jews. Although modern Jews also celebrate what is called as Yom Kippur. But it is not as serious as it used to be. When the high priest went into the most holy place with that blood of the lamb, he was not sure he will return. In Exodus chapter 28, I think verse 37 through 39, I'm not going to read that now. We read that pomegranates and the bells are attached, and it should alternate the sound as he's in the most holy place. If there was a jingling of the bells, not the regular alternate sound, which means he collapsed on the ground. The tradition says a rope was tied to one of his feet, and the other end of the rope was held by the priest in the holy place. If he died, no one could get inside the most holy place and treat him or lift him up. The only way to take him off the most holy place was to pull him from the holy place. I just wanted to make you understand, or myself, the seriousness of the holy place. And the high priest stood there for a few moments serving God, and the glory of God would descend on the holy of most holy place, and then the people rejoice, and then they will know that their sins were forgiven. Praise God. Now the writer of the Hebrews is saying to us, quite in contrast, those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, let us enter in confidence to the most holy place. Where is the most holy place now? It's no longer Jerusalem. You and I have come to that most holy place right here. This is not to be taken slightly when we come to the most holy place. And we have come not in timidity, not in fear, but we have come boldly in reverence, in the spirit of worship. Glory to God. That's what Jesus put Samaritan woman. The day has come. It is now. God is a spirit. Those who worship him, worship in spirit and in truth. People of God, I just want to encourage you this morning, when we come together as the body of Christ, we worship him, we praise him, we sing unto him in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to kind of visualize that event that made the Holy of Holies open to us. Jesus is the way to that Holy of Holies. We enter into that Holy of Holies by means of the veil. That veil is the flesh of Jesus. The man who walked on the shores of Galilee has to put an end to his flesh, die on the cross, so that we can see God. We can get access to God through his death on the cross. Matthew records in his gospel, chapter 28, 27, verse 50 through 51. Hallelujah. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. Historically, it is said this was so thick. I don't know exactly how many inches it was thick. It was literally impossible to tear that curtain by human hands. It was not a coincidence when Jesus died. The veil was torn so that the Holy of Holies can be seen through your natural eyes. People of God, I just want to remind you this morning, our flesh has to die. Our carnal nature has to die to enter into the most holy place. You cannot go to the most holy place with your flesh. Jesus died on the cross so that Holy of Holies is open. Today, because of that death on the cross, by his blood, we are here together as a body of Christ. It is not a coincidence. It was the will of God that the Son of Man should die on the cross. Praise God. I just want to read you some contrast between the high priests and how Jesus is a high priest, but in a normal Jewish atonement day, high priest would have to take the blood of the lamb to the holy place, most holy place. But Jesus himself became the sacrificial lamb and he went into the most holy place with his own blood. High priest entered the most holy place in a physical realm, but Jesus entered, praise God, the heaven itself and high priest entered the holy place or the most holy place and remained for few moments, excluding everyone else. But Jesus entered the most holy place, praise God, as a forerunner, meaning one who went ahead. There are people to follow. Oh, glory to God. Whatever the Jewish rituals were, they were a type. It was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. Both are equally important. People of God, I just want to let you know how privileged we are, how blessed we are that we are worshiping together in that most holy place. Now comes the important thing. I'm going to the second part of it. Once we come to the most holy place, it's a different realm altogether. No longer we are in the physical realm. We have to ascend to the spiritual realm. That's why in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, Apostle Paul says, you have died, but now you are risen to the heavenly places. This heavenly place is a realm, a spiritual realm that you ascend every day. Praise God. So then the writer to the Hebrews says, let us enter into the most holy place confidently. What he means, we are no longer bound by the laws. We are bound by his grace. We are in the realm. We are encompassed by that spiritual realm, people of God. So once we get there, what we have to do is to worship. We have to enter not just physically, but spiritually. Sometimes we are just there physically, but we need to enter spiritually. You know, many times, even when we sit here and even in the midst of the worship, we think of other things. Somehow it penetrates into your mind. I can go back to my home in New York within a second. Right now. And I can think more about it, and I can completely forget this realm. I can go to some other realm right away. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to tell you here. It's a realm that we have to cultivate ourselves to rise from all those thoughts. Enter into this realm of the most holy place. Oh, glory to God. People of God, you will know the impact that you will have, the experience of the most holy place that is within the veil, not outside the veil, but within the veil. Praise the Lord. If high priest had a terrible time in standing there, you and I shouldn't have the terrible time, because Jesus did that for us, and we have to rejoice in that most holy place. Amen? We have to worship. You know, Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, do you not know the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Many times, this is only a scripture to remember. You are carrying a shrine within you. Hardly forget to enter into the shrine. It is not the shrine that carrying you, but you are in that shrine, and the shrine is carrying you. Amen? During the time of Noah, he built the ark, and his family got in there. Now, it is not they are leading the ark, or they're not moving the ark is moving them. Are you with me, people of God? In the deluge, they are not in control of the ark. Noah built the ark, that's true. But once it started raining, the ark started rising in the waters, and Noah had no control of the ark. Entirely dependent on God. Oh, glory to God, people of God. We have no control whatsoever in the spiritual realm, I tell you. You are in that shrine, and the shrine, that ark, is taking you along in this journey. People, especially young people, let's hold fast to the creed or the articles of faith that you have learned from your childhood in this move of the Spirit. Let no one come and brainwash you. Let no one reteach you what has been sown as a seedling in your hearts. You may not understand everything. One day I was sitting at the back in the pew. It is interesting to sit the back. It's a different world altogether there. Not a negative sense, I'm sorry. What I saw, the little young children and the young mothers are trying to listen and trying to manage the kids. And the kids trying to distract the mothers. And I saw, even in the distraction, I saw one ear of the children is into the pulpit. That really fascinated me. Oh, praise God. Glory to God. I tell you, let us hold fast to what we have heard from our childhood. People, this will guide you through. This will lead you through. You don't have to understand everything what we say here. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God is penetrating in your hearts. And the Spirit, the anointing, will remain in the little heart. In time, it will produce its fruit. And I strongly believe that. When I was six, I haven't said this testimony anywhere, but I told some of them. When I was 6 or 7 years old, I saw a simple tract. In that tract, it says, the heart of a boy. The name of that boy exactly was my name on there. The name I'm called at home. And I read that, I took it, I was so fascinated by the little track. And that's the heart. In that heart, I saw a goat is running away from their heart, and a tiger is running away from their heart, and an elephant running away, and many animals, so-called wild animals, are running out of that heart in that picture. I looked at it. And then there was a ray of sun or Holy Spirit, I don't understand much about that, and it was penetrating into the center of the heart. And as they penetrated more and more, Satan's picture was there, And Satan, looking at this heart in anger, and he is fleeing slowly. You know, that touched my heart, Andy. Oh, praise God. I didn't know much about Jesus. And that was the beginning of my salvation. You young people, I want to tell you something. Don't disregard when something happens to your life in that fashion. That is going to bless your life. That is going to lead you on. That is going to move you on. And I tell you, God has led me in such a wonderful way. And then when I stand behind this pulpit, I forget myself. That's why sometimes I get excited. One thing comes to my mind. Where I was born in a little village in India, and got a little education, and how I came in contact with the brethren to know the truth of the present move. And I'm serving with you with grateful heart. It humbles me a lot how my good God has led my small family. As you know, we have only one son. And we are so thankful for everything what he has done. But humility, I stand before you to thank my God. People of God, I want to understand this morning, this most holy place is open to us so that we can access, we can enter, we can worship, we can thank God. We can serve under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. We have some duties as believers. This, I don't know if it's lacking, but I would like to remind you again. As a person I am, I get so discouraged if someone says, not much, a little bit of discouraging, not in word, just a word. It hurts my ego. I don't know about you, but most of us are people want to hear words of encouragement. Amen? The study shows encouragement will maximize or optimize the performance of an individual. Discouragement, on the hand, will destroy that person even if he has a little hope to succeed. Grace, you know, as a teacher, how important it is to encourage the students, right? So also the church, people. We elders not only become preachers, but we should have the heart for every sheep. Without a pastoral instinct, your preaching is of no use. Every sheep is important. Not every sheep is very encouraging. But we need to encourage every sheep. I'm talking the perspective of a teacher, taught for so many years in India and here. You don't accomplish anything by discouraging a student. Even though he's the worst student of behavior, studies and everything, but you don't really achieve anything by saying a negative word. You have to encourage. A person like me, I need more encouragement. I don't know about you. Yes, the church is a place for encouragement. A church is a place for love. A little more love. People are asking in unspoken language, give me some love. I don't need preaching anymore. Give me some love. Children are asking, give me some love. Teenagers are asking, give me some love. Encourage me. Oh, we encourage so much people. I would like to encourage the members of the body of Christ to encourage each other. The one most important thing you can do, give a nice smile at the person. Praise God. You know, the Crimean War of 1863-1865, Florence Nightingale, who started the institution of nursing, she was serving the soldiers. I hope there are so many soldiers out there. And one of the dying soldiers looked at her, and she said, I see Christ in you. Oh, that is talking about giving more love. Glory to God. The church at Ephesus in Revelations, we read, you're all doing good, but one thing you lack. You've forgotten your first love. It is not only for the couple, husband and wife, it is for the church in universal. Hallelujah. I just want to ask, I don't even answer me the question. Is there anyone in your church that you don't know well enough? You sat in the pew every Sunday, but yet you don't know the person very well? If I ask, do you know so and so? You may say, I know about him, but I don't know him very well. You have been in the church with that person for 20 years or even more, but yet you don't know that person very well. That's a travesty. Indeed, a travesty. Well, you answer, he's not likable. She's not likable. She's not like me. Nobody can be like you or like me. You have to become like them. Amen. You have to take the chance of greeting them. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may say, I tried. Nothing happened. You try again. Try again. Because that person is a member of the body of Christ. Praise God. Sometimes we come across people, you say, good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. It never really taken well. In other words, they don't even notice that you said that. I've come across that so many times. But that never really kept me away from saying again, good morning. They're tired of saying this and hearing this. People, we need that. We need that. Because remember I told you, we are in that most holy place through grace, through Jesus Christ. It has to be represented through us to the other body of Christ. Amen? I know time is running out. I'm a long talker. But I'm going to be brief. You know, as I said to you earlier, the writer of the Hebrews was a great theologian, but yet he was a chief pastor. He had such a concern for the flock. So that's why he says here, verse 25, I really want to take a few minutes on that. Let's not give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing. But let's encourage one another when we get there. Don't discourage one another. You know, I don't know whether it is here in India. They don't discourage you directly. This is how they say, I don't know how to put this, but they would call up or ask, are you going to church this Sunday? And the next thing is, I'm not going to church this Sunday. You got that? What does it mean really? I'm not interested to go to church. How about you? It is not pretty positive to go to church. It makes the other person to think, well, my friend is not going to church, so I may also slack behind because I have a reason too. Never do that, people. If you want to go, don't go. But let you not take the liberty of hinting at someone not going to church. You are not only going to a dangerous path, you are drawing a couple with you into that dangerous path. Church is a place where God meets with people. At the tent meeting in the tabernacle, praise God, when Moses and Aaron and the Levites came together, the glory of God descended on the tent meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church meeting together is important. Don't bring any reasons for not meeting together, because that is in the scripture. I am not, or we brethren are not ministering anything outside the scripture. Everything is based on the scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know with young mothers and young children, it's hard to get to the church. But I want to tell you, let your children grow in the church. Let them be planted in the church, as Mervyn Sundwell mentioned this morning. Let it grow as healthy seedlings. Let it grow as a tree and produce fruit in its time. Amen. Amen. I just wonder what may be some of the reasons for the people not to come to church. This is not my own. This is something based on what I made some research. One of the many reasons is fear. Fear of, I don't know what. Fear of people, maybe? Not fear of demons, I'm sure, because there is no demon in the church. People, if anybody has that fear instinct, they are the first one to arrive into the gates of the church. That's where your fear is dispelled. That's where you have peace in your heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know for some young people, you know, this is pretty shameful to say, not in the move, but there is a sense. The young people always want to be with the young people only. They're kind of ashamed to associate with older folks. They want a youth pastor. They want everything in a celebratory, youthful way. I don't see anywhere in the scripture along those lines. The families come together as a unit, children, grandchildren, grandparents, parents sit together and worship God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There should not be a segregation versus youth and the old. We heard this morning, the old will bear fruit even when they're old. People, I am talking about the church of spirituals. Oh, you young people, I'm encouraging you this morning, go where your parents go. Go where your grandparents go. There is a beauty in that place. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be quick. They may not go to church because of snobbery. You know the word snobbery, everybody knows that. Meaning, they are not really equal to me. I'm a little high-end person. You know, or the congregation feels we are of an elite club. Church is not that. Church is for all. Christ died for all. Disregard to race, tribe, language, color, everything. Jesus prayed in the high priestly prayer in John 17, Father, they may be one as we are one. Oh, glory to God. People of God, there is no such high, low, and medium in the church. We are all washed by the same blood of Jesus Christ. We all speak the same language in tongues. We all worship in the same spirit. We may look different, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. In the spirit, we are all looking the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Another reason they may not go to church is because of conceit. Meaning, too much of arrogance in them. Because of their intelligence. Because of social stand they have. I tell you, the wisest person is a fool. The strongest person is weak in the time of temptation. Only Jesus can change you. There is no one who can say, or no one who can live the Christian life and neglect the fellowship of the church. But Smith always emphasized on fellowship. Fellowship. We need to have fellowship. It is through fellowship I know you and you know me. The church is a place not only to worship but also to fellowship. We don't know what God has in store for us as we fellowship one another in the realm of the Spirit, though. Not talking about all nonsense, but talking about things of God. And I remember Joe Haney, when I was visiting St. Louis a few years ago, he said, everyone in the camp, if you look around, in the clusters, they were talking about God. They were talking about the meeting. They were talking about the glory of God, nothing else. Amen? That is what we need today. That, you know, we can talk about social issues later on. But as the members of the body of Christ, let us commune each other, talking about the good things the good Lord has done in your life and my life. That is why church is for. Church is a place to share our thoughts to one another. Church is a place to build that good relationship to one another. Church is a place where you all can feel that wonderful divine blessing. Now you may say, would I not get a blessing when I'm at home? You do. I'm not knocking that out. But I want to tell you people, such an individual fellowship is not long lasting. One of the theologians said about such people this way, a Christian in isolation war. He said, it's Moffat, John Moffat. He or she is a pious particle by itself. Just imagine if everybody came together, how wonderful that would be. Look at this camp. I know those out there watching in the World Wide Web, that is good. But I would prefer that you come here, that we can worship together. Amen? I know those who are sick and old, that's a different case. But those who can't come to the campgrounds, to the tabernacle, we can worship God in fellowshipping, in love, in harmony. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Oh, glory. People, we have come into that place where we are no longer in fear or trembling or that kind of a timidity. We are freely, we are worshiping. Loving each other. I want to ask a question. This may be a silly question. Is there anyone among us who hasn't talked to each other for years? I don't know. I'm just putting out there. Forgive me if I have, because I don't know most of you, because I come once a year and go back. So, but at least among us, if there's anyone, there's a chance, talk. If you have anything, you know, sort it out. Because this is the place we meet with God. The glory of God descends. Shall we stand? Surely we must enter into the holy place. Therefore let us worship in spirit and in truth. Now this rent into that we might enter in. Therefore let us enter into the holy place. One more time. Surely we must enter into the holy place. Therefore let us worship in spirit and in truth. The curtain of is rent into that we may just one more time. Surely we must enter into the holy place. Therefore let us worship in spirit and in truth. The curtain of his rent into that we might enter in. Therefore let us enter into the holy place. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, this morning for a visitation in our midst. Father, bless your people, we pray. Bless us together as the corporate body of Christ. Lord, we thank you again, O God. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Announcements? Brian?
Praise God. Just to remind the seniors and the
anybody that's alone and would like to have some fellowship of the 3 o'clock gathering together at the seniors or in the old dining room hall over here. Maybe some of you have just arrived last night and are not aware of it, and if you'd like some directions from anybody here, just ask. You're most welcome to come and have a little tea and coffee and some time to just be together and meet each other, just as our brother has talked and ministered to us today.
This afternoon we'll be taking a group to sing at Caleb Village. If you're not sure where that is, be on time and you can follow us, but it is where the old swimming pool used to be, if that's helpful to you. And if you see some of us afterward that know where it is, we can give you directions if you prefer. Anyone that would like to come is welcome if you enjoy singing. As I've said before, the singers get as much of a blessing out of it, I think, as the listeners do. This is a seniors complex. It's quite a tall building, sort of built in an arch, and there's no sign. It just has a big C on the canopy over the front door, so that might help you to find the place. Please bring a red book and make sure that it comes back with you. And we just want to welcome you if you would like to join us. We'll meet a little before 2:30 at the back of the tabernacle. We need to start singing at 3 o'clock. And we want to have a little time when we get there to set up. So we'd like to leave very shortly after 2:30. So we welcome you and hope that you'll join us.
I wasn't planning to be up here anymore this week, but I believe in giving credit where credit is due, and I've had a lot of people come and say thank you to me personally for the events of yesterday, and I played a part, but I certainly didn't make the whole thing happen. So I just want to acknowledge Laurel Vaudlin for helping communication, and she spoke to the elders in the Park Valley Assembly, and Park Valley very graciously sponsored the large obstacle course that we had on the front lawn yesterday. And North Battleford very graciously sponsored the bouncy castle that we had over by the canteen for the smaller kids yesterday. We had kind of two goals for the event yesterday, and one of them was something different that was just going to be a lot of fun, bring a lot of laughs, a lot of memories. We have definite photographic evidence of that, and I think my favorite picture that I saw was of Brother Luff as he was coming down the slide. And I'm wondering this morning if he's got any kind of a friction burn on the right side of his face. But and the other goal was, well, my personal goal anyways, was to bring people out to watch. And I was just thrilled when I turned around and saw that nicely shaded area filled with people standing and sitting and laughing and visiting. And so I count the day as a really good success. I think it was very enjoyable. So thank you to those that were involved in making that happen. And then on a slightly different note, just for any future activities this week, whether it's out at the volleyball field or another field, if you could please remember to take your trash with you. And your personal belongings, it would be helpful to those who are cleaning up after. Thank you.
If preschoolers could just meet at the bottom of the cloud room at 3 o'clock again, that'd be great. Thank you.
This is a message for the 6 to 12-year-olds. First, I'm going to start with 11 and 12-year-olds. So today is the day that Indian Dave gets to take you to go and make bow and arrows. And we need you to meet at the Cloud Room at 1:30. You'll be leaving with him at 2 o'clock. And you need to have an adult with you for this activity. So if you are 11 or 12 years old, you need to meet at the Cloud Room at 1:30. and you'll be leaving to go make your bow and arrows at 2, and so you need an adult to take or to be with you when you are there. For the rest of the children, 6 to 10, we'll be meeting in the cloud room at 3. And my third announcement is we are starting to plan the fun day for Saturday for the children. And there will be sign-up sheets at the registration desk. Somewhere's around there today. And there's several people that had said they would be key people to help set up and to help organize with Daryl. Daryl Amundson will be taking a key lead on that. And so if you could approach him, he can fit you in on those organization type things that he needs help with. So just letting you know those things.
The young people will also be going singing today. We have 4 places to go. River Heights, or Villa Pascal and SAS Hospital will be meeting in the back of the tabernacle for 1 o'clock, so you can go singing at 1:30. And River Heights and the singing at the jail will be meeting at 1:30, so we can go singing at 2. And for the jail, you will need to bring a piece of ID, as well as there's no tight clothing or sweaters allowed in the jail. And just bring a red book and make sure to bring it back to the tabernacle. Thank you.
Okay, I'll just wrap up the announcements. We are having our business meeting this afternoon in the tabernacle here at 2 p.m. That is for any elders and deacons that would like to participate. It is not obligatory, but your attendance is always appreciated. As well as a reminder that there will be an offering tonight for Sharon Schools. It not only helps with the costs that we bear for this camp, but the other 51 weeks of the year, things remain busy out here, so your support is really appreciated. Thank you.
Opportunity knocks. We only have 2 adults signed up for the singing at the jail. If you're interested in going, be here at 1:30. We have room for probably 2 or 3 more, maybe 5 adults altogether. So if that interests you, you're welcome to come. You'll need picture ID. I remember a previous camp, Ginny wanted to come, got all the way to the jail and didn't have her picture ID with her, and they refused Ginny. Can you imagine? So, I can't. Anyway, that's regulations at the jail. We need to have picture ID with us. So make sure that you have that along. And we have 7 young people. If there's still somebody over 18 that would like to join us, you're certainly welcome. We'll look forward to a time together there. We'll pray. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for all that's been ministered. And Lord, just bless us in our fellowship as has been ministered today. Lord, let love flow among us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.